Well, when my parents were Southern Baptists, and so I grew up in a Southern Baptist home, and my parents always drugged us kids to church. We just, you know, it was a ritual that was, you know, and I started going to church because of my parents, because they were kids and we were, you know, forced to go. And then I remember, over the years, I grew up 10 miles south of Washington, D.C. at a highly volatile time. And so confronted with a lot of questions, a lot of protests at the time, riots that were going on and all the other calamity that was going on when I was a kid. And so all that kind of made me question God, plus schools did too. So I started in school beginning to question God and question my parents' faith. And I always tell people this is how I, and I wasn't really, I don't think I was ever saved as possibly I could as a kid. I don't remember it. But I just remember that I got tired of going to church. And so I fought my parents, but I was old enough to stay home at the time. And so as they went to church, I watched Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoons. And they had this guy named Sherman in his time machine, and they went all over the place and talking about Greek philosophers and Aristotle or Plato or whatever and different things and kind of tongue in cheek and kind of funny. So I would go to the library as a kid and I would get these philosophy books and started reading. So I was reading philosophy, you know, when I was about maybe 10 years old. I mean, the reading vocabulary that we had back when I was growing up is far greater than what it is now, what they teach in school. And so I could understand it. If I didn't, I looked up the words in a dictionary and found out what they meant. And so from there, I just questioned the existence of God. And so then in school, we got the same thing. We had got older and went through middle school and stuff like that. We had teachers that would talk about the protest and there is no God. Nietzsche was big, God is dead thing. And then one teacher played The Eve of Destruction while watching a video. He had a video with the sound turned off, and it was like a music video he self-made. And it was like, you know, we're on the eve of destruction and all that stuff. You know, if God's so good, why did he stop evil? And that all influenced me. So through school and what I've learned in school and my own inquiry mind and what I've learned and what I adhere to led me away from my parents' faith. And so I began my walk away from all that. I was agnostic for a while. I tell people I was agnostic. I played around with atheism, agnosticism, then fully became full-blown militant atheist a little bit later. Not much later, but pretty much. And I just believe that you're a dead hunk of meat, that when you died, there is no God because he allows evil. Every question that people have is, God so good, why does he allow evil? And all, you know, I never realized that what I was about to experience years later after all this indoctrination I got, those questions would be answered. And we'll talk about some of those as I go on and why all this is. May not have all the answers, but you might, if you think, because what I tell people, I want you to think and reason it out on your own, because that's the most important thing. It says in the scriptures there in Isaiah chapter 1, God likes to reason with us, and he will reason with you. He'll explain things to you in a way I can't. I can set the stage, and we will as we go on in this interview. And so, basically, I fell away from all that, and I didn't go to church, and I've been in this. I just got into my high school years. I mean, I was fighting, I was drinking, I was doing drugs, I was doing all these things. And I got a job as an electrician. I was an electrician at the time. And high school, it was over. I went and moved in with a friend of mine who's a biker, a very prominent bike club on the East Coast, a subchapter of that group. I won't say their name now. But so I was in a subchapter of that. I was thinking of joining. But to earn your colors is an experience that I did not want to go through when I found out what they require of you. And so I decided, you know, that's not the life for me. I told my friend, you know, I think I'm going to try to move. So I talked to him. I flew out on my own to Tucson to see an uncle and see if I can get a job there. I heard there were jobs. Jobs were beginning to get scarce where I was living. at the time. So I found some work in Tucson, Arizona. So me and my friend took off and moved to Tucson. I was a militant atheist. I didn't want to hear anything about Christianity. You know, I studied stuff, and I just thought that Christianity was just a bunch of bunk. It was all they did was stole other ideas from other religions and combined them to. And I had all my arguments and my ducks in a row. I could do some damage to some people if they're witnessing to me, which I did. And some people I couldn't. I mentioned one in my book, A Land Unknown, Hell's Dominion, about a gal named Trish that came up and witnessed to us in high school. And a friend of mine and we're driving along. We saw this, we call her the Christian chick, the Christian chick. And some guys were trying to drag her behind the shopping center, you know, to do some harm to her. So we jumped out of our car and took care of those guys, and she ran off. And then she started witnessing to us that summer, just a few weeks. And in my book, it sounds like a long time. It was actually just a couple of weeks in the summer that all this happened. And so she witnessed to us. She came up to us. She was fine because we protected her, and we got in some hefty arguments and stuff. And then I kind of liked how she looked, you know, as a young guy. It was a nice looking girl. And then I wanted to, I wanted, she intrigued me. So I found out that when she left to go home, she was in a car wreck and died. And that really said, man, how could God be so cruel? She was such a nice person and all that. She's the first Christian person I ever knew that could put me in my place. And I could not, no matter what I say or try to get myself out of it, she had a word or an apologetics phrase or something that counteract my atheism and put me in my place. And I like a challenge. And so my personality type, I can... Later, in my career path, I actually worked in the sheriff's department. I worked in community corrections, and I worked treatment teams with sex offenders. So, and this is challenging, and this is my personality type. But anyway, so I moved to Tucson and get away from all this bad stuff that was happening here, where I lived in Falls Church, Virginia at the time. And then we moved to Tucson. And there I got my job. I had to be there in 2 weeks. My friend said he could go with me. He was auto mechanic or something. I can't remember. Yeah, auto mechanic. So he got a job right away too. So we're in Tucson, settled in. Another guy moved in with us from, I can't even remember his name, but he moved in. And it could have been, I can't remember his name at all now. But anyway, I can't give you their names anyway. But anyway, I just looked around and we were living together. I mean, I had a two-bedroom duplex I rented, and one friend was in one room, I was in the other, and the other guy, we had a laundry room with nothing in it, so that was his room. So three of us, we had, our rent was covered, everything was cheap, we had money, drinking, partying, doing all the things, smoking pot, all that stuff. We were just rowdy people.